Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Underground Railroad by William Still is a 19th century historical record of enslaved African Americans who escaped bondage through the covert anti-slavery network known as the Underground Railroad. First published in 1872, the book gathers authentic narratives, letters, interviews, and observational records compiled during Still's work with the Vigilance Committee of the Pennsylvania Anti-Slavery Society in Philadelphia. Rather than offering a retrospective overview from a distant historian, it preserves accounts gathered close to the events themselves, often from people who had recently fled slavery. Its purpose is documentary, commemorative, and political to record the dangers of escape, expose the violence of slavery, and honor the courage of freedom seekers and their allies. The Grapevine Press edition presents a public domain classic whose value lies in its status as a major primary source for African American history, abolitionist activity, and the lived experience behind a network often described only in general terms. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Still's recordkeeping turns abolitionist work into a historical archive. One of the most important features of the Underground Railroad is its documentary method. William Still did not simply retell legends about escape from slavery. He recorded names, places, family ties, methods of flight, letters, and personal testimony from people who passed through Philadelphia during their search for freedom. This makes the book different from a later historical synthesis because it preserves fragments of evidence created within the abolitionist movement itself. Still understood that slavery deliberately separated families and erased identities, so documentation had a practical as well as historical purpose. Records could help relatives locate one another after escape, and they could preserve evidence of lives that slavery tried to reduce to property. The resulting book is uneven in the way many archives are uneven, but that unevenness is part of its significance. Some accounts are brief, while others are detailed and dramatic. Together, they show how an anti-slavery office functioned as both a humanitarian station and a record center. Still's achievement lies in converting confidential wartime-style notes, gathered in dangerous circumstances, into a public record after emancipation made publication safer. Secondly, freedom seekers appear as strategic actors rather than passive victims. The book is valuable because it repeatedly presents enslaved people as agents of their own liberation. The narratives describe people calculating routes, timing departures, hiding identities, gathering information, protecting companions, and making difficult decisions under extreme pressure. This emphasis matters because popular memory of the Underground Railroad often focuses on heroic rescuers, sometimes reducing fugitives to people who were simply guided north. Still's accounts complicate that picture. Assistance from abolitionists was important, but the decisive initiative usually began with those who chose flight despite the risk of capture, punishment, family separation, or death. The stories of figures such as Henry Box Brown, William and Ellen Craft, and people less widely remembered demonstrate a range of tactics rather than a single pattern of escape. Some escapes depended on disguise, others on concealment, forged confidence, river crossings, maritime routes, or rapid movement between safe locations. Still's narrative, therefore, contributes to a more accurate understanding of resistance. It shows that the pursuit of freedom required intelligence, courage, improvisation, and collective trust. The moral center of the book remains with those who risked everything to claim legal and human personhood. Thirdly, the Underground Railroad is shown as a flexible network, not a fixed route. Still's book helps correct the common misconception that the Underground Railroad was a single organized line with stable stations and a central command. The accounts instead reveal a loose, adaptive network of black and white abolitionists, free black communities, church members, sympathetic workers, boatmen, householders, and vigilance committees. Philadelphia appears as a crucial node because of its location, free black institutions, and organized anti-slavery activity. But the network extended through many local decisions and personal relationships. This structure made the system resilient. If one route became dangerous, fugitives and helpers could change plans, rely on new contacts, or move through less visible channels. The book also shows that secrecy was not merely dramatic decoration. It was an operational necessity created by slave catchers, informers, hostile laws, and the threat of violence. The language of stations and conductors can make the network sound orderly, but Still's evidence reveals something more improvised and risky. Its effectiveness depended on trust, speed, coded communication, and people willing to absorb legal and personal danger. The book, therefore, serves as a practical map of how decentralized resistance can function under conditions of surveillance and repression. Fourthly, the narratives expose how law protected slavery beyond the South. The Underground Railroad is not only a record of movement from slave states to free states, it is also a record of how slavery projected power across regional boundaries. The danger did not end when a person crossed into Pennsylvania or another free state, because federal law and slave-catching practices allowed pursuit into the North. This legal context gives the narratives much of their urgency. Freedom seekers often had to continue toward Canada or remain hidden because nominally free territory could still be unsafe. Still's accounts show that the conflict over slavery was not limited to plantations or southern courts. It was present in northern streets, railroad depots, docks, private homes, and committee offices. The book thus reveals the contradiction between local anti-slavery sentiment and national legal structures that protected slaveholders. It also demonstrates why vigilance committees were necessary. Their work involved food, clothing, shelter, transport, legal awareness, and rapid decision-making in response to immediate threats. By documenting these pressures, Still shows that escape was not a simple passage from oppression into liberty. It was a prolonged confrontation with a legal order designed to make human ownership enforceable across distance. Lastly, the book preserves memory while revealing the limits of 19th-century narration. The historical importance of the Underground Railroad is inseparable from its form. Still writes in the moral and rhetorical style of the 19th century, and modern readers may find some passages formal, repetitive, or shaped by the conventions of abolitionist prose. Yet those features should not be mistaken for weakness alone. The elevated language reflects a period when anti-slavery writing aimed to persuade public opinion, defend Black humanity, and answer pro-slavery claims with evidence. At the same time, the book is not a neutral archive in the modern academic sense. It selects, frames, and sometimes interprets testimony through Still's own moral purpose. Readers should therefore approach it as both a primary source and a constructed abolitionist text. Its value lies in the convergence of evidence and advocacy. It preserves names, circumstances, letters, and memories that might otherwise have disappeared, while also shaping them into a collective argument about slavery and freedom. This makes the book especially useful for historians, genealogists, teachers, and readers interested in how historical memory is produced. It shows not only what happened to many freedom seekers, but also how one Black abolitionist chose to record their struggle for posterity. In conclusion, The Underground Railroad is best suited for readers who want direct engagement with primary source material on slavery, escape, abolitionism, and African American resistance. It is especially useful for students of United States history, educators building lessons around first-hand accounts, genealogists tracing family histories, and general readers who want to move beyond simplified images of the Underground Railroad. The practical benefit of the book is its close attention to how escape actually worked: planning, secrecy, local assistance, transportation, danger, and the constant threat of recapture. Its intellectual benefit is broader. It challenges narratives that treat freedom as something granted from above by showing how enslaved people and free Black abolitionists actively forced the question of liberty into public life. Compared with many later histories of the Underground Railroad, Still's work stands out because it was produced by a participant who interviewed and assisted many freedom seekers directly. Compared with memoirs by single authors, it offers a collective record, preserving many voices and circumstances rather than one life story. Its Victorian style can require patience, but that difficulty is outweighed by its documentary power. The book remains distinctive because it combines testimony, activism, archival preservation, and moral argument in one foundational record of the struggle for freedom. If you would like to support William Still, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.